You know what? I love that statement. Big God, itty bitty devil.
Yeah.
And tonight we're going to continue to talk about the kingdom and about faith and about trusting God and all that fantastic stuff. Because, you know, sometimes we think, and I remember September 11th, 2001. And I remember I had got a call, and it's amazing how you get up in the morning that day, and I was just, it was like a normal day. I was getting up in the morning, and all of a sudden I got a call. I think Adrian called me and said, hey, somebody said something about the plane hit the Trade Center. And so my day was fine, right? I don't get anxiety. I don't anything else. But it's amazing how when I was watching it, they started getting news coverage. And then while I was watching it, that, like live, the second one hit, or explosion, or what do you want to call it? And it just, something just went right through me at that point, and I thought, oh my goodness. And it's amazing how one thought can change your outlook like that. You know, everything's going great, and how we can see something and how the devil can plant something or put an image or something and it can wreck things. It's because, what do? We allow him to, you know, all of a sudden, you know, have you ever had those days where you get up and everything's great and you're having a cup of coffee and then all of a sudden something happens, you know, and you get a thought or a circumstance happens, and we still serve a good God. Amen. And we don't have to let circumstances rule us or get concerned or worried about things. And as, for example, we talked about last week, everything went wrong for Joseph. And sometimes I'm just, and I feel like this too with some people, some of you may feel like everything's going to pot. I don't understand why things are going on. I've had that several times in my life where I've sit back and say, okay, nothing is working. And you know, I've had the revelation. Sometimes God's like, I don't want you here. I have better things for you. So I'm sitting here trying to kick a dead horse. And silver isn't going anywhere, right? I'm like, you know, the Lone Ranger here trying to kick high hole silver, and it's not going anywhere. It's because God's got great things ahead. And we're focused on something that doesn't matter anymore, right? Remember those times in your life? I mean, think about it. Whether it's, for example, I don't think like I did in high school. I mean, hopefully I don't. But the point is, it's like you move and you grow and you go beyond certain things. And there are just certain things in your life, they need to just be, you know, put in a chapter in your life and move on. And sometimes we just, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I feel like sometimes if things aren't working well or you're in trouble or there's things just happening, sit back and say, okay, God, what's going on here? And rather than getting upset about everything and stewing about it and getting yourself all anxiety and everything, sit back and say, wait a minute, I can't control everything. And God does have good things for me. And I want to share some scriptures with you tonight about having faith in God and believing in him tonight. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And we're going to talk about staying in the kingdom, staying in the kingdom of God tonight. But I also want to talk about the kingdom, because I hear constantly how people will blame God for putting sickness on somebody. Well, God's putting sickness on somebody, teach them a lesson. God's doing this, God's doing that. One of the things that the devil, and it just from the Garden of Eden, is to try to get your mind to associate bad things with God. And if you do not trust somebody, you're not going to approach them. You're not going to have faith in them. And so if you think that someone is out to hurt you or that is not in your best interest, you're going to avoid that person. Anybody have that person or some people that you knew, maybe you grew up with, maybe you're in high school with, or you're college or whatever, had friends or maybe sports, and you just didn't get along with them? There were these guys I played baseball with, and I don't want to use the word hate, because we didn't, I didn't, you know, no. But we strongly disliked each other. All of a sudden we get to high school, and we're on a team together. And we're best friends on the field. And then off the field, we can't stand one another, right? Because there's this, all this animosity. Over the years, we played against each other, and we just were just... And there's just this people in your life that you just feel like... It just there's this tension there. And the devil wants to bring that to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says... Here, I know this is kind of an odd scripture, but let's talk about this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. This is kind of a silly statement, isn't it? Because when we look at the Bible never takes time to prove God. It never does. Because what's the assumption? That God is real, right? There is no, the Bible does not take, waste any time talking about if God is real or not. It just says there in the Proverbs that the fool denies God. That's it. So there is no discussion about, and even Romans talks about that you can walk outside and you can see God in all of his splendor. I mean, you can see the fingerprints of God everywhere, right? If you don't believe that, get into DNA, get into all the scientific stuff. There is absolutely intelligent design. But here we go. It says, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and what he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is the devil always trying to get you to do is not to seek God, right? If you pay more attention to your surroundings than you do with God, are you really believing he's real? And that he's a rewarder of those who'll diligently seek him? What are the keys here? Believing that he's real, that he actually exists. Another thing is diligently seeking him. Well, I just know why things are going on. Are you seeking him? Right? I mean, too many times people are always at, I mean, I'm happy to pray, but everybody's like, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? And I'm like, well, how much praying have you been doing? I mean, I'm not a priest, right? You don't come to me to get to God. It doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. We're in a new covenant, right? In the Old Testament, there was two main gifts. Three, that the Holy Spirit rested on. His presence rested on the priest and the prophet and the king. And that's it. Today, if you have Jesus in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have, especially if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit in and upon you. There's only three types of people in the Old Testament that had the presence of God on them. So this is not a come to me, I'm happy to pray with you, I'm happy to show you scripture, I'm happy to agree because the Bible talks about if two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them, right? So there is a power of a prayer of agreement. But I am not your, just too many ministers, too many people, they're trying to be your Holy Ghost, they're trying to be your Jesus, and I am telling you right now, I am neither. We got these little people right here. I mean, it is just such a blessing when they get out of the diapers. I mean, how many of you got kids who are out of diapers? It's just like an instant pay raise. It's like, hallelujah. And like the clouds split, you know, and the sun shining when that happens, you know. You'll be there. You'll get there someday. But isn't it? It's just such a blessing to just have. Why? Because they can do things. I mean, you know, I have to pour a glass of milk all the time and get them. Wait, I still do that. Why am I doing that? But they're just things where you just don't have to change diapers. You don't have to do these things. I mean, it's just a blessing. And that's where we get in spiritual walk. And that's a part about growing up spiritually. Is, you know, that's the importance of the church is you can, the Bible talks about bearing one another's burdens, right? And this all comes back to this. If everybody's expecting somebody, you know, let me just pause here. We're watching TV and you watch some of these ministers on TV. And I love a lot of these ministers on TV, okay? But everybody's expecting somebody to give them something. I'm sorry, but the Bible talks about give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together shall men give in your bosom, right? If we're all waiting for somebody to give money to us, nobody's sowing anything. And the same thing we come I don't know how I'm getting off on all this stuff. But it's when we come to church, if we're expecting everybody else to bear our burdens, but we're not willing to bear somebody else's burdens. Can I just say this? What's the most dead place on the earth? It is the Dead Sea. Why? Can somebody tell me? Well, first of all, there's no outflow, right? It's dead. You want to be depressed? Don't do anything for anybody. I like what Joyce Meyer said. She goes, you know, if you want to feel good about yourself, bake some cookies and bring them to church. Like Miss Amy, right? Hey! Take them to your neighbor or bring them to church, you know. You know, hey, that's my version, all right? You know, that's my story, all right? Okay, you know, so whatever. Or, you know, drop them off the pastor, you know, whatever. I'm just, that's kind of what I heard, but. That's right, amen. There, you know, drop one off to Dwight, you know, or whatever. So I'm pulling for everybody here. But the point is this, to grow up means we're doing things for other people, right? We're praying for other people. And that's something too, we're never praying for other people. It's hard to get people to sow prayer when we're not praying, right? And so that's something too, we just need to commit and say, okay, I'm here to help bear one another's burdens. Amen? I'm here to pray for people. I'm here to give into people. I like one thing when I was in prayer school with Jim Hockaday, he was talking about, I'll give, I'll pray, I'll pay, I'll obey, and I'll do all three. Right? Because it's great to give funds. We need funds, right? We got people who pray, want to do their spiritual things, and there's, you know, we want to obey, but let's do all three. Right? Let's write checks. Let's do that. Let's do this. So we've got some natural things involved that we're doing. And you know, can I just say this? Most people have been in this church for a month. You should know enough to go lay hands on somebody and pray, right? We don't need feeling. If you want feelings, go eat a bowl of beans, right? Do something, right? If you want feelings, walking with God is not about feelings. In fact, I'm just going to say this too. Sometimes walking with God is doing things afraid. Oh, that went over well, didn't it? Right? How many people in the Bible had good feelings about anything that they did? Jesus going to the cross, it was not a Chuck E. Cheese event, right? It was not a night on the town to go to the cross. Nothing in the scripture is about feelings. We can just get over the feeling thing, right? I like to feel good. I like to make people feel good. I love everybody here. I love people out there. I want to make people feel good. I want to make people feel welcome. But you can't believe the things that people told me when I was growing up in the Lord. Most people would walk out and never come back to church. But you know what? God was more important than somebody. I'll just say this. I've been in a room with people that are on TV and they have just been the big shot with me in the room and said things to me that most people would walk out. Like really, really things that are, I can't believe you, I would never think of saying that to anybody. And they would say things like in a room full of ministers. I was in a pastor's office one time and there was a bunch of us and the guy that's on TV was there, called me out, started asking me all this stuff. And I'm thinking, first of all, why are you asking me things like that, right? But I didn't give up and go, oh, this is all just garbage. This is all, I just quit ministry. I'm never going to be a Christian again. You know, I still watch your shows, right? You know what? People can miss it, but God's perfect, but people aren't, right? So we can kind of get things down to, you know, we can overlook things with people around us, people in the church, ministers, whatever. Yeah, that's why people, well, I'm just not going to go out the church because of this, this, and this. Oh, so you're going to give up on God because one person you didn't like, right? I love God too much. I mean, it was just, to be able to not do that. Hebrews 11:6 says, I don't have how come I got off on all that, but it says here, believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Guess what? I'm not a rewarder of following people, but Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we do have people that we can follow and say, okay, this person's running after God, I want to follow them. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're to what? Diligently seek God, right? And you know, when you begin to mature around people, you can tell who's genuine and who's not. You watch TV, you know, Adrian and I fell for dumb things on TV years ago. We were young in the Lord, and it was like, send this in and you get the 52 blessings. And we're like, 69 bucks and you get the 69 blessings. And all we're like, woo! It was like, wait a minute, we're 69 bucks poor. Right? And then you know what? We just had to chalk it up. Yeah, yeah. So it was like, oh, this is a blessing. But you know what? We just chalked it up to, hey, we sowed it to this person. We just gave, whatever. I'm not going to worry about it. It's 69 bucks. I'm not filing bankruptcy next week, so it's okay, right? But you live and you learn, okay? I've made a ton of mistakes. I know none of you have, but, you know, you make mistakes and you live and you move on, right? And you don't get bitter about it. That's the key. And that's not something. Just keep your heart pure before God. People are going to make mistakes. They're going to do things, right, around you sometimes, but you just don't give up, right? Oh, these kids are just, you know, they're driving me up a wall. Let's just get rid of them, right? Oh, by the way, all the people who, there's going to be days we're going to love them, and then there's going to be other days where you're like, got the adoption on speed dial there. did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. But you know what? That's the whole thing. Hey, God dealt with it too. With Hebrews, right? I mean, he was going to, their Deuteronomy, going to issue them a bill of divorcement. He's like, I am tired of these stiff-necked people, right? And Moses is like, oh, come on. You know, let's just, you know. And then Moses would get mad. God would say, well, you know, let's not today. And I always think about, what if they got together on the same day? That would have been dangerous, right? God would have been ripped off. Moses would have been all huffy and everything. And then, oh, boy. Anyway, it didn't happen. You know, God's loving, but... 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your care upon him because what? He cares for you. I want to skip down to Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, and we'll come back to some other things. But this is the Lord's Prayer. I want to stop here for a minute, and I want you to think about things because we always rattle off, and every time I was in church, it was a religious thing. You know, like in kids' church, you learn John 3:16, and you learn, you know, the Lord's Prayer, and you learn all these kind of religious things that you know when you grew up. But let's kind of dive into this. First of all, Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says this. It says, when you pray, this is New Living Translation, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. Why is Jesus saying this? Because when we approach God, it should be based out of a relationship. I mean, how do you remember the Iraqi war and the war in the Middle East that we had the previous decade and a half ago, right? And you see those terrorists on there. What did they say? If Allah be willing, right? I'm sorry, but I'm not strapping TNT to my body and going, well, it's the flip of the coin. Maybe God's happy with this and maybe he's not, right? I'm sorry, I'm not a gambler, okay? I'm not going to gamble that, but I will say this, I can know his will because I have the word. And his word says, again, don't babble on like the Gentiles do, meaning I just hope something happens, just help me God, help me God, SOS, help, you know, I'm tossing out the, no. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating words again and again. I mean, I'm going back to the kids thing here. And how many just love it when your kids beg you for stuff, right? Isn't that just great? You're like at the store or something. Oh, please, 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 pretty puppy, please. I'll never ask for anything again. Just give me this toy. Just ever. I'll never ask for anything again. Ever, ever, ever. Just this one toy. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Right. Oh, you just had a birthday last week. But it doesn't matter. I'll never. You know what? I'll just buy it for me and I'll work for you 100,000 years. Just get it for me, right? Right? I promise I'll do my homework every night. Oh, you're going to do that regardless. So. That one's off the table, right? I was like the manipulative things, you know, or those things, you know. Oh, this is my kids. I'm sure this is somebody else's kids, right? We're not talking about my kids here. But just kids in general. But We think that just because, and that's immaturity, isn't it? Because kids do that kind of stuff. Oh, please, 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 Dad, please, Mom, please, 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 please. Oh, I'll never do this again. You just get it for me. I'll clean my room every day for the next 100,000 years, please. No, God doesn't want babbling. He wants us to come as a relationship. And he also goes on here, verse 8, don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you ask him. Right? God has a pretty good idea what your bank account's reading. Okay? He doesn't need your username and password. He's got it figured out, right? He knows what kind of situation you're in. So it's not catching God off guard saying, God, I need help here. I need money. I didn't realize that. It says, our Father, he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven. Now, God's in heaven, right? Jesus is with him at the right hand, and the Holy Spirit is ministering here on the earth. And it says, may your name be kept holy. Here we go. May your kingdom come soon. May your what? Will be done on earth as is in heaven. Now, I'm going to stop here for a minute. This is very important because too many religious folks, they read through this and they don't understand what Jesus is talking about here. What is Jesus talking about? He says, first of all, your will in heaven be done here on earth. Is there sickness in heaven? Are people broke in heaven?
No.
No. Are people murdering in heaven?
No.
Is there violence in heaven?
No.
Is there depression in heaven?
No.
No. So if it's not happening in heaven, it's not God's will. I'm going to say that one more time because you probably didn't get it. If it wouldn't happen in heaven, it's not God's will. God is not out kicking little puppies, right? Doing mean things to people and having a laugh over it. Putting sickness on people. If it's not happening in heaven, if it would not happen in heaven, then it is not God's will. So now we got to come back and rethink, okay, what's happening to me? Is this God, right? Now let's just admit, sometimes we can do dumb things. I always told my kids, you do dumb things, you get dumb prizes, right? Can't fix stupid. You just can't. I mean, sometimes you bring things on yourself. I always say, everybody's, we talk about Joseph, but you know what? Probably if Joseph hadn't ran his big mouth, I don't know. You know, I'm just saying that, hey, there's already tension there. You know, Dad likes me better. All the other brothers see that, right? You get a big old fancy coat from, you know, I don't know, who's the, you know, Polo or whatever. You know, he's got this big fancy coat, you know, Gucci coat, all tricked out and everything. Hey, look what Dad got me. Oh, boy. Oh, by the way, I had a dream, and you're all bowing to me, and yada, yada, yada. It doesn't look good, okay? I'm just telling you right now. So we do dumb things sometimes to kind of get ourselves in trouble, right? And then we say, God, why is this happening to me? I had a guy that I used to play baseball with, and I mean, he was a good player, but everything, but he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. It's like, why are you saying these things, right? And he couldn't understand why things were happening to him, you know? You just take the kick me sign off your back, okay? And let's just stop, because sometimes we do things and we dig ourselves in the hole. But you know what? There's forgiveness. So don't worry about it. You just repent and move on, right? So, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as is in heaven. So again, whatever is in heaven, whatever God's will is, guess what? God's will is love. We see in the Jesus definitely emphasizes that in John chapter 14 and 16. All the apostle John's epistles, the first, second, and third, they all deal with the love and also the spirit of Antichrist, and he differentiates it. So there is a love there that God is pouring out upon us. If you want to feel like $1 million, you go read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John tonight, and you will feel fabulous. You'll feel like the most special, just wonderful. Go read them. I mean, John is just oozing with love, right? And guess who was there with Jesus when he's on the cross?
John.
And guess who Jesus said, hey, I want you to take care of my mom? Peter. No, it was John. And guess who had probably one of the most revelation of love?
John.
And guess what the next answer is probably going to be?
John.
Hey, there's a pattern here. That's incredible. Right? Like the little kids, everything's Jesus, Jesus, God, Jesus. You know what? You say Jesus or God, you got it. You're clear. In church, you know what? That's the bad answer for everything in kids' church. It's just say Jesus and God and you're cool. All right? We're good. Give us this day the food we need and forgive us of our sins as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. What's that mean? When we mess up, we can be delivered. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen. So he's here too. His will can be manifest here on earth. He's going to provide our needs. We don't need to pray like the heathens do when we're doing all of these things. We don't need to pray like the Buddhists do where they sit there for hours and hours and hours and get themselves into a state of nirvana and we get into this state we don't need any of that. And that's satanic. That's completely demonic to get into psychotic realms like that. Completely demonic, and we don't need to open ourselves up to that junk. But what we can is open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, and we can open ourselves up to God. And also verse 14, it says, if we forgive those who sinned against us, then our Heavenly Father will forgive you, but if you refuse to forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your sins. You want to stay in the kingdom? Discover things about God. I always like to listen to people's testimonies. And again, I base it off the word, right? I was in heaven and there was the devil and it was really great. I saw this and I saw that. And it's like, no, you didn't, right? There's just some weird stuff out there people see. It's like, okay, you know what? Please lay off the drugs. Stop doing drugs, okay? Good, because those things aren't real. A lot of these people are, listen, a guy one time, he was talking about other things. All of a sudden, he slipped in there. Yeah, I was like he had all these spiritual experiences, and then he forgot to tell everybody that he had been on drugs. It's like, well, of course you're going to get into realms and junk that you don't need to be, and the devil's going to accommodate you, and that's not what we need, right? Because those are that you're getting into some realms we don't want to deal with, right? And that's something too where people, we're really a big thing on legalizing drugs, and people are going to have experiences, all right. But it's not going to be what you want. And you're opening yourselves up to demonic forces when you're into that. So that's something you don't want to do. Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. No, you don't know what you're inviting into your life. That's why we want God's will, his kingdom to come down to be manifest here on the earth. We'll close with this in Psalms 91. Actually, while you're turning there, I want to read some other scriptures while you're turning there. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passes understanding shall what? Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many people, there's a guy I was in, she didn't, this guy that I went to, that I was, actually I played baseball with him, we went to the same church, and he had a gal, a friend of his, and her friend came, and her brother went insane just because he couldn't keep his mind under control. Ended up in an insane asylum. And I'm telling you what, you can keep your mind steady with God, right? You know, the devil could come along, well, you're going to go insane, you're going to do that. No, we're not. I'm not. No. You take control of your thought life, right? This is something where the devil and the world wants you to think that you have no control over your thought life. You do have control over your thought life, right? If you have things coming to you, you can speak. I will automatically speak things in the past. I've done that before. It looks ridiculous. But you begin to release things through your mouth. That's how you change things as you begin to speak things, right? You speak things into existence. You speak to those entities and say, no, you're not going to. Now, I'm not going to be at work, or I'm not going to be around colleagues or, in a store. In the name of Jesus! Okay, let's use a little common sense. But what I am saying is this. You can speak to those things that try to come and attack your thoughts. Speak to them. In the name of Jesus, no. And I found out too, when I don't put up with the devil, he doesn't come around. When he gets bashed upside the head with the blood and the name of Jesus, he doesn't like to show his head very much. Romans 8:28 says, We know all things work together for the good of them that love God. How many love God tonight? Well, you know what? There's good things that are going to work out for you, right? There may be bumps in the road. Life's going to happen, right? You're going to get an unexpected bill. You know, the transmission goes out, whatever. Okay, but you know what? Good things are going to happen. I was just talking to one of my a guy earlier this week talking about, he's like, I lost everything twice in a row. I lost everything twice in my life. And he's talking about how, you know, things had turned around in his life. Lost everything financially two times in his life. And then he came back and he goes, it's just better than it was before. And I'm like, well, preach, brother. It was so good. And just because something does happen, it doesn't mean you're all set back and everything else too, right? Adrian and I went back to Bible college, and we came back, and you know, we were broker than anything else. Went back to Bible college, and had some things happen. We had, you know, fraud on our credit card and all this. It was just God was good. But I'm telling you what, right now we saw other people. They were getting these jobs, and finances were coming in, and this and this and this. And we thought, you know what? God's going to bring us back. He's going to make it up for us for sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Amen? And you're looking at all these people. Things are happening to them. Like, get on Facebook. Right. Like, Facebook is reality. You know? Yeah, whatever. And so everything goes, oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. No. That's not reality. Psalms 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in what? Mercy and truth. Mercy and truth, right? Our flesh, and this is what the Bible talks about, what theologians we call sin consciousness. What this means is you're more aware of your mistakes than you are the righteousness of God. That's sin consciousness. And what that means is you are almost sometimes self-destructive, where you know, I'm not good enough for God. I'm not. You're right, you're not good enough for God, but He's good enough for you. And He wants you, He wants to do things in your life, but also He's plenteous in mercy and in truth. God is full of mercy, and He's full of grace. What is mercy? He's withholding what you really do deserve, which is to die in hell. But He's full of grace, which is empowering you and giving you things you don't deserve. Mercy holds back what you do deserve. Grace gives you things you don't deserve. And He's full of both. I'll tell you what, people need to be shouting or running or something tonight. I feel like I'm at a mausoleum or something. Or you're all chewing tonight, right? You're all like, nom, nom. Psalms 145:8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. I need mercy, don't you? I need lots of mercy, right? Matthew 4:14 says, Jesus went forth, here we go, and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion and put sickness and disease on them. And took all their money. No. It says He was full of compassion towards them and healed them of their sick. You ever notice too, one time, I'm just saying this, when you go read the scriptures, you go find compassion and find the supernatural behind it. There's some manifestations in here. All right. Some phones going off upstairs. But God's mercy and compassion often precede healings, God doing things in people's life. Read the Gospels, you'll see Jesus. There's compassion, and then He heals people. He heals multitudes, right? He doesn't just heal a few people. He heals the multitudes. And the Word talks about that all of the books in the world could not contain all of the miracles that Christ did. There's 19 recorded cases of individual healings, like the one with the issue of blood, the centurion servant. I mean, you know, all of these individuals, 19, but there's countless other people that are not in there, that their names are not recorded, but they're in the multitude, right? And Jesus come back, just shows up and goes, everybody's healed. Isn't that cool? It just, bam, takes care of everybody. And yet He was full of compassion. He just, it was in him. Psalms 91, those who live in the shelter of the Most High, we've read this, but this is so good to worth reading before we leave tonight, will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. God is going to give you rest. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night. I don't have to be afraid of the news. Okay? Oh, we're going to have terrorist attacks. Oh, this is going to happen. Not me. First of all, I'm going to be led, right? That's important. You got to be led by the Spirit. We're just talking about different things earlier today. And, you know, just some things where the Lord was just telling me, oh, you need to go. Oh, you need to go here. Oh, you need to get out of here. Oh, you need to go. We need to be sensitive to those things moving forward, right? We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor by the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the Wuhan lab, nor the disaster that strikes at midday, right? Though thousands fall at your right side and 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Again, be led. Oh my gosh, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to take this. You got to do this. Everybody's doing this. We'll give you a free t-shirt if you do this. Right? Be led by the Holy Spirit. I am never going to tell people what to do, especially with their own bodies, right? What you should do and what medically you should do and everything. You got to be led by the Spirit. Now, I will pause and say this. I mean, people of old, like, I'm trying to think, John Alexander Dowie he'd have prayer rooms, and he's like, you are not taking any medication when you come in here. That was like in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he was sued, I think it was 130 times by people. Now, he's who we have to thank, because if you're in England, you get sued for the stuff here in the United States. Thank you, John Alexander Dowie, for standing up. He went to court, I think it was like 130 some times. They tried to sue him for healing people and practicing medicine without a license. And he said, I don't think so. You can go pound sand. And every time he got off, right? Mm-hmm. He got off every time. Thank you, Alexander Dowie, because if he wouldn't have stood up, then they would be coming after me and everybody else. So that prays for healing and everything, right? So anyway, just a little historic thing. It's kind of fascinating that, you'd think like one or two times, but 130 sometimes. It's like, did you not get it the first 129 times? It's like, okay, I know I'm probably not the smartest person on the planet, but like after two, three times, I'd be like, I think we can give up now. But the devil is relentless, right? He just keeps coming back. He keeps coming back. And we'd have to keep putting him down, taking authority. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, I'm going to stop here really quick too. If you think that evil people in this world that have been wrecking our world are going to get away with it, you are sadly mistaken. Because if you read the scripture, God is going to deal with them. Nobody in this life gets away with anything. I'm telling you right now, right? You may die and not get caught and not go to prison. You are going to pay the price. First of all, you're going to have a guilty conscience, right? Second of all, you're going to have to answer God for it. And nobody in this life that is going to do evil things and hurt people is going to get away with it. We see it over and over again in the second chapter of Psalms. We see here, we see all throughout the Bible, that God deals with evil people And they receive recompense, they receive punishment, and nobody gets away with things. We can sit back and, oh, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. No, God's going to deal with things, right? You just look at Esther. The Hebrews look like everything's going to be done, everything's just awful, terrible, and in one day, everything turns around. And the things that Mordecai had planned for the Hebrews, he's the one that gets the punishment, and God turns things around. So don't think that these things are just going to be, oh, nothing's going to happen. Oh, there's things going to happen. I guarantee it. God is not going to put up with this. Things are going to change, right? It's just because of the word says, and people will receive judgment. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. Amen. I've been in places I know for a fact that there's been an angel there because I walk away and go, there's no way I should walk. There's no way, right? I know what's going to happen on the end. I'm going to meet my guardian angel and he's going to go, brother, I need overtime pay for this stuff. I'm telling you what, when you were a kid, I just, oh boy, boy, you owe me big time. I'm like, I do. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. And the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust me in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. That is a mouthful. When they call on me, I will answer. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. This is what the will of God is. And Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord. What? And he shall give thee the desires of your heart. And guess what? When you also delight yourself in the Lord, guess what? Your desires are his desires. See, when you become closer with him, the things that were really important to me 25 years ago aren't that important anymore. Because when you become closer to him, the more you want to be like him, the more you want to think like him, the more you want to talk like him, and what's important to him, you want it to be important to you as well. So, you know, people act like this is a blank check, and it kind of is, but really when you delight yourself in the Lord, he rubs off on you, and what he wants comes out in you, right? Like, oh, I can have the desires of my heart. Well, what's in your heart? Desires of the heart. Just some things to think about. Jesus, 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 tonight we glorify you. We thank you so much, Lord. We rest in you tonight. You're full of love, full of compassion, full of mercy, Lord. We love you and you love us. All the bad junk going on in the world, we celebrate you tonight. Jesus, we give you glory and honor. You are the one that deserves praise and honor and glory tonight. You deserve all praise and all glory. Father, we worship you tonight. You are beyond wonderful. You are full of compassion, full of mercy, and full of grace, Lord God. And you're pouring upon us, Lord, in our nation, in this world. We thank you there's an outpouring like never before. I pray tonight that there is an outpouring on every person tonight. Lord, that you are revealing yourself stronger to them like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have a great week.